We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. And we pray that you strengthen our faith in our Savior now as we meditate upon the Word which he's given us through you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speakerphones and those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. A service this morning is coming from our home here on the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin. We'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verse 27, talking about Moses yet. In the King James translation, it reads this way. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The words we're going to start concentrating on here are not fearing the wrath of the king. And at first reading, we seem to have a problem with this. I'm thinking about what the Holy Spirit tells us in the record of Exodus, chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, reads this way. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that's when he was age 40, that he went out unto his brethren, and he looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, why smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. So in Exodus chapter 2, the Holy Spirit tells us that Moses was afraid. And when Pharaoh found out that he'd killed an Egyptian, he fled from Egypt. Now here in Hebrews 22, verse 27, the same Holy Spirit tells us that by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. So which way is it? We tend to think the Holy Spirit, you can't have it both ways. He was either afraid or he wasn't. Or can he? Maybe he can have it both ways. What we have to remember is that Moses left Egypt on two different occasions. He left Egypt the first time when he was 40 years old. He left Egypt the second time when he was 80 years old. Give or take 1 year. Now, the first time he left Egypt, he fled as a criminal. The second time he left Egypt, he went out as a commander of God's people. The first time he left Egypt, he fled in fear, fearing the wrath of the king. The second time he left Egypt, he wasn't afraid. He left as a victor. What made the difference? Well, the reason for the difference is not difficult to determine. For most of the first 40 years of Moses' life, he was raised in the palace of Pharaoh's daughter. He was learned in all the arts of the Egyptians and all the wisdom of the Egyptians. She gave him a good education. He had power. He had clout. He may very well have become the next Pharaoh. As possible. But then when crunch time came, with all the advantages that he had, he was afraid. For the next 40 years of his life, he followed a flock of sheep out in the wilderness. Met the Lord on the backside of the desert. And while he was in the wilderness, he learned the wisdom of God. And then when crunch time came, he was not afraid. There's a lesson for us here, and this is probably the most important lesson of the verse. And the lesson would be this: as long as we trust in ourselves and fight the way the world fights, we're going to end up being afraid. Moses had every advantage, humanly speaking, that he could have had. He had the best of Egypt's education. Egypt was the greatest power in the world at that time, further advanced than everything else. And he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He had that going for him. He was popular in the land. He had clout. He had everything going for him, humanly speaking, that he could get. We would say he was healthy, wealthy, and wise. And yet, in the crisis, he fled in fear. When we choose to fight with spiritual weapons, this doesn't happen, using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The 40 years that Moses spent in the wilderness following the sheep were not wasted years like he may have thought they were. At the end of the first 40 years of his life, he thought he was ready to lead the people out. His mother undoubtedly had told him that, and his father. You're the one. You're the one that God has chosen. God revealed that to them. It was in the fourth generation that God was going to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. And Moses was a product of the fourth generation. His parents knew that. And remember, they had him during the formative years of his life till he was weaned, which could have been up to 5 years. And then he was taken by Pharaoh's daughter and raised in her house. But in his early childhood, he was given the Word of God. He knew that. And he was ready at that point when he was age 40. He was ready to lead his people out. They weren't ready for him. Who made you a judge and a ruler over us? Moses was the type of Christ. We will not have this man to rule over us. We have no king but Caesar. That's what they said. Well, basically, they rejected Moses too. He hadn't anticipated that. So then he spends 40 years out in the wilderness. God appears to him in the backside of the desert, tells him to go in and free his people, and Moses says, I can't do it. You're late. Should have asked me 40 years ago. I could have done it then, but I can't do it now. Well, during those 40 years of following the sheep in the wilderness, Moses learned something. He didn't have any power of his own when fighting against powerful Pharaoh. Didn't have any power of his own at all. And the same thing is true with us. We don't have any power of our own. Any power we get comes from Jesus Christ. That's the lesson. So Moses went in there, into Egypt, and he was tested in a way that very few people ever have been. The intensity of his testing was almost unbelievable. Let's look at a few of the details. Detail number one, he was commanded by God to enter the presence of Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, and say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Moses was not commanded to ask. He was commanded by God to tell. Look at the details again. For the last 40 years of his life, he was a shepherd. He was unknown in the land of Egypt, and he had no power. He had no clout in Egypt at all, like he did when he was 40. Now he's 80. And he goes in from the land of Midian. He goes into Egypt, standing all alone, his brother beside him. And he goes into Egypt's court and confronts the most powerful man in the world. Point number two, he was not favorably received. Pharaoh didn't say, well, you know, you guys have been slaves for 400 years. You deserve a weekend off. Go ahead and serve your God. He didn't say that. He said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. So he was rejected. The next test that came was that things got worse instead of better. We're in Exodus yet. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land are now many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day, Moses went and confronted him, the same day he commanded the taskmasters and saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as before, as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tally of the brick, the numbers of bricks that which they make hitherto, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof. In other words, they're going to have to produce the same number of bricks, only instead of you giving them straw, they got to go get the straw themselves. We're doubling the workload, but the product has got to be the same. Why? For they are idle. Therefore, they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. They got too much free time on their hands. Let's give them more work. Let there be more work laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. Have you ever had something like this happen in your life? Where you take a stand and do what God wants you to, and instead of things getting better, they get worse. That happens over and over and over again. We've got to be ready for this. When a child of God obeys his God and takes a stand, Satan doesn't like that. He's angry over it. And he's enraged. And still under the power of God, he's going to make things worse as he possibly can. The next thing that happened was that Moses' own people turned against him. The officers of the people said to Moses, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. So now he's standing completely all alone. His people don't even want him anymore. Now they're angry with him. You came in here, you said you were going to free us, that was a promise God gave you, and it hasn't happened. And in fact, we're worse off now than we were before. Thanks a lot. That was their attitude toward him. So Moses is learning here that he's going to have to stand all alone. And sometimes that happens with all of us. In a crisis, don't look for help from the government. Sometimes don't even look for help from your own family, your own relatives. It gets worse before it gets better. But you see, that's a process of strengthening, and it draws us closer to God. We're never alone. I don't care who forsakes us. We're never alone. Okay, so then come the 10 plagues, which, God willing, we're going to look at next week if the world is still spinning. And if God allows it, we'll look at those next week. But then the next test for Moses was that he had to leave the land of Egypt and lead out his people, which numbered, it must have been at least 2 million. Hundreds and thousands of among them were women and children. They had no experience in fighting. They had no weapons. Pharaoh's army had chariots of iron and horses, a cavalry and foot soldiers, and the children of Israel didn't even have a bow and arrow. No chariots, no horses, no experience. And they had to go out into this great and terrible wilderness. It took nothing less than a divinely given faith that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's the only way to get it. And Holy Spirit works through the Word. So then Pharaoh makes one last attack. This is the most vicious of all. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot. And he took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. This seems difficult for us to understand, but let's remember a couple things. Number one, the 10 plagues that God struck Egypt with happened within a period of 1 year. There wasn't any chance for recovery from these things. And one thing happened after the other. And during the course of this period of time, 20 times Pharaoh's heart was hardened. 10 times he did it, and 10 times God took over and did it. By far the majority of the first 20, it was Pharaoh who was hardening his heart. And then finally, he passed the point of no return, and God gave him up and said, basically, "You've had it. Now, I'm going to harden your heart, and you couldn't repent even if you tried." Why else would Pharaoh go out against the children of Israel after, during the past year, the whole country of Egypt had been decimated? The plagues, they wiped out everything. The country that used to be a world power wasn't going to be anymore. And yet, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, he said to the serpent. I will put enmity. So the anger that the devil has toward Jesus Christ and toward all of his people, finally, you can trace back to God himself. That's what he says. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed." And remember also the truth that God loves his son. The father loves the son. And the father also loves the bride that he has given to the son. So let Satan rage and do whatever he wants. He's still under the control of God, and it's working together for our good. That's what you get down to. It's working together for our good. The Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they saw the most powerful army in the world bearing down upon them, and they were afraid. They were afraid. Who wouldn't be? And then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Here you learn what happened back in Egypt. They didn't want to leave. Most of them didn't. The elect did, but they were a small remnant. Most of them didn't even want to leave. They're satisfied to stay slaves under Pharaoh in Egypt. And now, instead of turning against God, they're turning against the messenger. Kill the messenger. God told Moses to lead them out, but they're blaming Moses. And that's no new thing either, is it? There's nothing new under the sun. This is an old game that Satan plays. God told Moses in another place, "The people haven't rejected you. They've rejected me." Don't forget that. The sequel, Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. This is written for you and for me, too. When Satan makes his most vicious attacks, and by the way, the most vicious attack is going to come when we're on our deathbed, unless Christ comes back first. That's going to be the most vicious attack. And we see the enemy closing in, and the Word of God is going to say, you know, fear not. Don't be afraid. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? For thou art with me. Remember that. And in the moment when you die, Christ is going to come closer to you than he's ever come before. So fear not. Stand still. Well, they had to stand, so they couldn't do anything. They couldn't outrun the chariots and horses, that's for sure. They couldn't fight. They were helpless. The only thing they could do was stand still. So they did. But then, see the salvation of God. Take a good look at the Egyptian army, because this is the last you're going to see of them. The Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. So take a good look at them. Isn't it neat that we're never going to have to see the enemy again finally? Isn't that neat? They'll be put away and there'll be a great gulf fixed. That's neat. So we better take a good look at them while they're still here. I won't see them anymore again. You cling to the promises of God. We'll get to this in Hebrews if time allows. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation, your way of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do unto me. That's what we've got to get to. And the Holy Spirit will give us that. So Moses stood strong through all this, and I suppose the question we might ask is, didn't he ever fail? And didn't he ever waver? Didn't his faith ever wavered, or is he always still strongly believing in God all the way through? And the answer is, yes, Moses wavered. He was no super saint. He had the same fears and the same weaknesses that you and I have. Moses complained to God, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. None of your promises have been kept, and things are worse now than they were before. Why did you even send me down there? That's the language of unbelief. So Moses wasn't a perfect saint. He had the same weaknesses you and I have. Let's remember that. And how God dealt with him so tenderly. He said, Moses, remember the promises that I gave you. And more than that, you know, I'm summarizing. Remember who it is that made the promise. I'm the one that made the promise, and I'll keep it. I'll be with you. It'll all work out. Just hang in there. Well, during this period of time, during that 1 year period of time, when the plagues came, one after the other, there were four compromises that Pharaoh offered to Moses. And these four compromises were the most difficult part of the whole year. And if Moses had accepted any one of the four compromises, it all would have been lost. In our government, in human government, sometimes you have differences of opinion, and the only way the differences really can be solved, if not by force, is by sitting down and compromising, and that's what people should do. But when it comes to God, you don't compromise what God says. And that's where Moses stood. God gave the command. He told us what to do and how to do it, And we're not going to compromise on that, Pharaoh. First compromise number one. Okay, God had demanded, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. In other words, if you're going to worship God, there has to be a complete separation from the world. Egypt was filled with false gods. There were images of false gods everywhere you went. Except in the Great Pyramid. There wasn't in there. But every other one there was. And even in the places in the home, there were images of these false gods all over. Not in the utensils they ate with. All this sort of thing. They got to get away from that. We know what was happening down at Children of Israel down there. They were worshiping these false gods too. That's part of the reason they didn't want to leave. And when they left Egypt, they took their false gods with them. They perished in the wilderness. So this, there's more involved here than it first meets the eye. But the compromise is, no, don't go into the wilderness. Pharaoh said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. I'll let you sacrifice to God, but you do it right here in the land of Egypt. You don't go into the wilderness. Moses said, no, I'm not going to compromise. God said, go in the wilderness. We're going to go out in the wilderness. Pharaoh got angry, and the attacks continued. Compromise number two. Next, we are told that Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Stay real close. You're going to step across the border, but stay close enough that you can jump right back. No, there's got to be a complete separation. God had said go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. He didn't say just barely leave the land. Separate yourself by 3 days. Three in Scripture is a number of resurrection. We're living on resurrection ground, and we're not going to stay close to the world. The command is, be ye separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So, no, we're not going to just go a little ways away. We're going to go 3 days' journey out. We're going to have a complete separation from the religion of Egypt. That's what God said, and that's what we're going to do. Pharaoh got even more angry. Compromise number three. This is satanic. The Lord had said to Aaron, Pharaoh says to Aaron, who are they, Pharaoh said to Moses, who are they that shall go? Who are you going to take with you 3 days' journey out in the wilderness? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters and with our flocks and with our herds. Pharaoh said, no, I can't buy that. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. In other words, worship God by representation. Let the head of the house do the worshiping, and the women and the children stay at home. No, that's not going to work. God said we're all supposed to go out there, and we're all going to go. The old people might have a hard time walking out there, but they're going to go. And the young ones, if they can't walk, they're going to be carried. We're not going to have a separation. We're not going to divide our families. We're all going to go out. Compromise number four. One more effort. Go ye serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. If you got to be so hard-headed, well, go ahead and do it, but don't take your flocks and your herds with you. And Moses said, no, wait a minute now. God said, thou must also give sacrifices and burnt offerings. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not one hoof be left behind. For therefore, what must we take to serve the Lord our God? Pharaoh's compromise was, don't go overboard and give God your pocketbook. You just go out without the flocks and herds. You can stay home and have your business and cheat one right, left, and in between. That's all right. You don't serve God that way by being honest in your business. Forsake that stuff. Moses wouldn't buy into that either. the New Testament says we're supposed to let our bodies be placed upon the altar of God as a living sacrifice. And whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. It's not just 1 hour in church on Sunday. It's a total commitment. God wants your heart. And so you don't compromise. If even one of these compromises had been accepted, all would have been lost. New Testament says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." We're not supposed to live in this world and try to clean it up. You can't clean it up. It's under a curse, and what is crooked cannot be made straight. It's going to have to be renovated. There's only one person that can do that, and that's the Son of God. So, come out from among them. That doesn't mean to go out in the wilderness and build a wall around yourself and isolate yourself. But it means don't have the same heart that the world has. Don't have the same goals that the world has. We're in enemy territory here. This is not our home. We're going for a better place. The things that they covet, we do not covet. We have a different way of doing things. So, okay. Proverbs says in chapter 19, verse 12, the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion. And it seems like Moses' faith was tested more and more difficultly, difficult all the way along. It had to grow, in other words. The tests keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. He not only didn't fear man, but he didn't fear the king either, and even that, he didn't fear the wrath of the king. And Pharaoh was angry. He was upset at the end of all this. His whole kingdom was gone. And now he took his powerful army, and he was going to wipe Israel out. He was angry. And Moses left Egypt. He probably knew that Pharaoh was going to follow. He'd gotten him to know well enough the last year, he's not going to take this. He wasn't afraid of that. I will not fear what man can do unto me. We're not to be afraid of any of these guys. They're controlled by the devil, yeah, but the devil's controlled by God. Let's not forget that. And the promise is that everything shall work together for our good. That's the promise. So we don't ever have to be afraid, and we shouldn't. How did Moses do it? Well, he didn't do it himself. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Well, how can you see someone who's invisible? Well, you look with the eye of faith. That's what faith does. It enables us to see things that you can't see with the human eye. And a few things here. Moses endured. This enduring had to go through his whole life. It does for us too. It's not a one-time thing where you make a decision and then it's all over. It doesn't work that way. You've got to keep enduring, keep enduring, keep enduring, go stronger and stronger and stronger. And you do that by studying the Word of God and praying for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Moses had to do. The word endure here is a one-time usage in the New Testament. So any time it's used. Moses endured, and he endured not because he saw someone who was invisible. That's true. He did see. He saw God out at the burning bush. But it doesn't say he endured as one who saw someone who was invisible. He said he endured as seeing. You see the difference? If you saw something once, that's a one-time occurrence. If you're seeing it, you're always seeing it. It happens over and over and over and over and over again. We should be seeing God every single day of our life. Son of God said, have no thought for the morrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, there's enough problems we've got one day, let alone looking ahead to even 2 days or a week or a year. We don't realize how much we are under attack every single day. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers and wickedness in high places. The devil is a roaring lion is walking about seeking whom he may devour. Quote, see if you, what you think of this quote. I'm not going to tell you who said it. Quote, how little of this faith that Moses had is seen in the poor, degenerate churches of our day. Still going. Yet how could it be otherwise when the worldliness has quenched the spirit on every hand? One of the commands is, quench not the spirit. When Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins that went out to meet the bridegroom, they all had lamps that were burning. They all had oil in the lamps. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And when they went out to meet him, night fell, and the bridegroom delayed his coming. So they had to wait. And at midnight, the cry came, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And five of the virgins were wise. They had enough oil in their lamps. The lamps were still burning, and they went out to meet the bridegroom. But there were five foolish ones, and it says their lamps had gone out. Use your concordance. The word "gone out" is the same Greek word that is translated quenched. Quench not the spirit. The foolish virgins had their lamps quenched. They quenched the Holy Spirit, and he quenched them. You can't mock God. You can't do that. And they thought they had enough. They were playing Russian roulette. We got enough. We don't have to study Scripture every day. We know Jesus died on the cross for forgiveness of our sins. We know that. Why read the Bible anymore? Why study it? We can make it. Well, they couldn't make it. They got quenched. It's a one-time occurrence, this word endured. It's something, though, that we have to do every single day. It's a continuous act. I have set the Lord always before me. Psalm 16, verse 8. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. This is so necessary. Outwardly, when we look with the human eye, sometimes it looks as if God has completely forsaken us. And it looks like things have gotten worse rather than better. And we're wondering, should we have taken the stand that we did? Well, remember, God is with you. He's with you. You don't have to be afraid. Have the faith that Moses had. It was a gift of God, not of man, lest any man should boast.